Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen begins our time in the book of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians doesn't address specific problems. Instead, it's meant to circulate among the churches, with the first three chapters focusing on doctrine and the last three on duties. Join Stephen as he explores the true blessings believers have in Christ. Open your Bible to Ephesians for a message called The Believer's True Blessings.
Today we set sail into the amazing letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Now, this is the first of four letters Paul wrote that we refer to as the prison epistles. All four of them, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, were written around AD 60 or AD 61. Now, here's something to keep in mind. All four were written while Paul was a prisoner, under house arrest, there in the city of Rome. Ephesus was in Western Asia Minor. That's what we know today as modern-day Turkey. Paul briefly visited the city on his second missionary journey, recorded back in Acts chapter 18, and then he stayed in Ephesus for an extended period of time during his third missionary journey, recorded in Acts chapter 19. Paul spent a total of 3 years ministering to the Ephesian church, along with his co-workers Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos, and later on, a young pastor by the name of Timothy. Paul's letter to the Ephesians really doesn't deal with any particular problem in the church like most of his other letters do. Bible scholars believe that Paul intended Ephesians to be a circular letter. In other words, it was sent to Ephesus, but it was meant to be circulated among all the other churches in this part of the country. Now, the theme of Ephesians is simply the church. And this letter is actually an easy letter for Bible teachers like me to outline. Beginning here in verse 3, he praises God by writing, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Don't miss that, beloved. God has blessed us in Christ, not with a few blessings, Paul writes, but with every spiritual blessing. By the way, every one of these blessings is for every single follower of Christ. You don't have to reach some plateau. You don't have to pass some spiritual milestone in life before you get to claim them. They are all yours right now. Now, just keep in mind that these are spiritual blessings. Paul's not talking about your automobile out there in the driveway or how many suits you have hanging in the closet. Those are material blessings, and you might enjoy some of them. In fact, I've read that if you have food in a refrigerator for the following week, if you do have an automobile, if you have several outfits of clothing hanging in the closet, if you've got some money somewhere tucked away in a bank account, you happen to be in the top 5% of the world's wealthiest people. But today I might be talking to somebody who's wondering where their next meal is going to come from. Paul is giving us spiritual blessings that every believer can claim. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you might be, they are yours right now. Now, Paul gives us a list of them here that'll take us from verse 3 all the way down to verse 14 in the original Greek text. This happens to be one sentence. You got to stop and breathe every once in a while before you can finish this sentence written by the Apostle Paul. Now, this list is grouped around the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've already explored a number of these blessings in our wisdom journey through the book of Romans, so I'm just going to go through these verses and make a few comments along the way. Now, first, Paul gives us the blessings related to the choice of God the Father here in verses 4 through 6. Paul writes, "He," that is God the Father, "chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Now here is again that truth that you've been chosen by God. In fact, His choice occurred in eternity past, or as Paul puts it here, before the foundation of the world. Now I got to tell you, this is a hard doctrinal truth to comprehend, and frankly, it's because it's telling us that God did something before He created the universe. He did it in secret, so to speak, and we're told in the Bible that the secret things belong to God. His choice of you before time began will always be a mystery. But let me tell you, your choice of Him at some point in your life is not a mystery. You fully understood your part, didn't you? In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me," well, that's His choice, "will come to me," well, that's your choice, "and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Well, Paul continues here with this list of blessings. He adds these blessings that relate to the redemption of God the Son here in verses 7 through 12. "We've been redeemed," Paul writes, "through His blood, and we've been given the promise that God will ultimately unite all things in Him," that is, in Christ. Paul writes here in verse 10 that this will finally take place in the fullness of time. That's a reference to the return of Christ. So here's a blessing for the believer. You have the promise that one day God will make all things right in the world. And that's a blessing you can cling to, especially when things aren't right in the world, when it's all dark and difficult. Well, now here in verses 13 and 14, the list focuses on the guarantees of God through the Holy Spirit. Paul writes of believers here in verse 13, "You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Well, here's what he means. At salvation, the Holy Spirit came to dwell personally within you. Paul explains that the Spirit's presence in you is God's seal. It's sort of His down payment, so to speak. The Holy Spirit is God's assurance. It's His guarantee of an eternal inheritance for every believer. So really, what more could we possibly need? Well, on our part, if we're honest, we probably could use a little more appreciation for what God's already given us through Christ. And Paul concludes this first chapter of Ephesians with a prayer. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, but it's also a request for his readers. Paul writes here in verse 16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." By the way, this is a wonderful example of how we ought to act toward other believers, isn't it? Have you ever thought about the fact that it's nearly impossible to criticize people and then thank God for them in prayer at the same time? Well, Paul is specifically praying here for the Ephesians in verse 17 that they will grow. They'll grow in wisdom and in knowledge of God's work in their lives. And to that end, he also prays here in verse 18, "that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe." What a great prayer. And let me tell you, beloved, as your understanding of God's word grows, your understanding of God's work grows, and your hope, your appreciation, your praise for God, well, that's going to grow as well. Well, now finally, here in verses 19 through 23, Paul emphasizes that every blessing we have and will inherit throughout all of eternity is the result of God's work in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, who even now, by the way, Paul writes here, is seated in the heavenly places above every name that is named. So when you pray for other believers, maybe you wonder at times what exactly you ought to be praying about. Well, here it is. Pray for them like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they may have greater understanding and appreciation of their blessings from God. And while you're at it, let me encourage you to pray the same thing for yourself. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today we explored Ephesians 1 and the incredible blessings we have in Christ. Paul's prayer for believers is to grow in wisdom and understanding of God's work. Remember to pray for others and for yourself to have greater appreciation for these blessings. One of Stephen's passions is equipping men and women. He wants to be used by God to prepare people for effective service. To that end, he founded and serves as president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. Graduates of Shepherd's Seminary serve God in their communities worldwide. Many men earn degrees and planted new churches. Others are serving as pastors in existing churches. Are you interested in graduate-level theological training? Consider STS. Let me tell you about a very special opportunity for those who qualify. The school offers a 100% paid scholarship. This is for qualified men who want to become pastors. In order to qualify, you have to study in person in Cary, North Carolina. You also need to be a full-time student. And as I said, the scholarship is for men who aspire to be pastors. For more information, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. Many people take classes simply to understand the Bible better. I mention that because even if you're not called to full-time ministry, STS can help you. Classes are online, so if you just want to take a course or two, there's no need to relocate. Join from anywhere and study with fellow students. In-person classes are in Cary, North Carolina, Laramie, Wyoming, and Bryan, Texas. Students also gather in clusters at local churches in Birmingham, Alabama, and Lincoln, Nebraska. The world needs people equipped to teach God's Word. Stephen and STS faculty want to invest in you. For information, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. Visit that site today. Then join us back here next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.